There's some things in life that just are not meant to last. There's some things in life that are meant to last, but some things just are temporary. And I think one of the greatest problems that we face as Christians is being able to discern what is intended to last and what is intended to be temporary and just fleeting, and then to give each its proper amount of attention. I think probably we all would realize that some things that are fleeting, we give way, way, way too much attention to. And some things that are permanent and last and will last throughout all eternity, we give not nearly as much attention to as we should. And so I want us to talk about that topic this morning and begin just by way of illustration. We've seen this before, have we not? We've seen children, we go to the store and we buy them a bucket of sidewalk chalk and we say, have at it. And they go and they paint on the parking lot or the driveway or the sidewalk or whatever. And we know, you know, as soon as it rains, just a little bit, that's not going to last. But I'm not talking about this kind of stuff. I'm talking about the next slide. This kind of sidewalk chalk. Have you seen things like that? I mean, that's just a sidewalk, and this guy has taken chalk, and he's made depth come to it. It looks like he could fall in this chasm here and build a bridge across it. And, you know, imagine the time that is spent on that. This isn't like what your children do on the driveway and just in a few minutes draw something. This guy has spent no telling how many hours developing this. And the thing that always bothers me about these type of drawings is probably what's going through your mind right now. But it's going to rain. You know, rain's going to come and wash all of this away, and it'll be no more. It'll all be for naught. Or you'll have somebody, and always there's somebody like this, that will, when he gets done with this and want to show people, there will be people that will walk right over top of it, you know, just to mess it up. Do you remember, well, back in the day when I went to school, we'd get a new pair of Chuck Taylors, and we'd have that, you know, that little rubber toe that went across it. It'd be brand new, clean, and somebody would see that and they'd have to come up and stomp on it, you know, to put a footprint on your brand new. That's just the way some people are. You just can't keep certain things. And as much time and effort as this guy put into painting this, it's all for naught in just a little while. Somebody will walk across it, mess it up. So the rain will come and destroy it. Not only that, but there are fireworks. Have you ever thought about, I love to watch fireworks, and they're a really neat display, but how long do they last? Just for a little bit of time. I mean, one of the better ones you might go to, the program might last 20, 30 minutes of nonstop fireworks, but then it's done. And do you understand how much money is involved in this? The fireworks display in Washington, D.C. last year on the 4th of July, that cost $221,000 just for the fireworks that you blow up and are gone in 20 minutes. $221,000 for 20 minutes? Wow, I mean, that's great. I love the picture and everything, but 20 minutes for that? It's not that great, but it's just not something that lasts. That's why I have a problem with it. If it were my money, well, I guess it is my money, isn't it? It's your money too. We're paying for that. But it just doesn't seem worth it when you consider the cost, the investment in it. And then we can talk about personal health care, you know. And I put a man's face up here on purpose because I wasn't going to do a lady and have somebody get upset with me. But that we spend a fortune in cosmetics and all kind of care that can prolong our youth and make us look young and handsome and rugged. But, you know, time just has a way of catching up with us. No matter what you do, if you live long enough to get older, it's going to show. And that's just the way it is. Your youth and your health, it's temporary. It doesn't last forever. And then we can also talk about, you know, things, and I don't have slides for this, but we can talk about things like lawn care. I know some people that get so devoted to lawn care, and a friend of mine has this John Deere mower, and he puts a big, he works at R.R. Donnelly's. It's a place that prints all your magazines. And he puts one of these rollers from the paper that rolls, he puts this big heavy roller on the back of his lawn boy, so that when he mows, he can stripe his yard really good. You know, it looks just like, center field at, some ballpark. And they put so much time in their yard to make it pristine. And then winter comes, you know, and the grass dies and your bushes don't bloom and the flowers don't bloom. And then you start all over again in the spring. It just doesn't last. And that brings me to this. You might be saying, well, what does that OG stand for? Well, that's something that meant a whole lot to me. And I have this letter here. This is from my high school. I went to Oak Glen High School. And, man, I wanted a letter. You know, you got a letter in sports. And so I ran cross country and I played basketball and I lettered and I earned this and went, but when I got my letter and my letterman jacket, man, life is good. You know, I was like, wow, I've got my letterman jacket. And you don't have any idea how much work went into getting this. For cross country, we had the most difficult course in the Ohio Valley, the hills. When we talk about cross country, we're not just talking about running, you know, a 3.2 mile course. We were running a 3.2 mile course that went up and down and it was just horrible. We would have the option some days to run that course or to run 5 miles on kind of like a road course. We would choose the 5 miles over the 3.2 miles because of the level of difficulty. We ran hundreds of miles just so I could get this. And I spent hundreds of hours in a gym with a ball and running, and many times without a ball, just running to get this. And so I get my letterman jacket, and it is cool. It has, you know, it's blue, the same color, and it has these white leather sleeves. And man, I was so proud of it. We had a game, and we went down into the locker room. We got ready for the game, and I hung my jacket in my locker. I came down after the game, and after we got ready to go home, I reached in to get my jacket was gone. Someone stole my letterman jacket while I was playing ball upstairs. I figured it wasn't the opposing team or nobody from there, because what would they want a letterman jacket for from a school that they don't even go to? So I figured someone in this school has taken my letterman jacket. So I became detective. And for the next 3 weeks, I looked people over really. I mean, I went around and I checked, and I would see people that were wearing letterman jackets, and I would go to their coaches and say, this guy said he played baseball. Was he on the baseball team? Did he letter? If they said yeah, I'd leave him alone. And then I'd go to the next person. And people I didn't know who lettered, you know, I said, I've got to figure out who stole my jacket. Well, one day I saw this guy, and he wasn't nearly as tall as I was, and he had this jacket on, and it was just too big for him. And so I went up to him, and I said, hey, what'd you letter in? And he said, wrestling. I was like, what weight limit did you wrestle? He didn't know even what to answer with regard to that. He didn't know the weights, and he just said it varied. I was just, you know, here and there. And so I went to the wrestling coach, and I said, did this boy letter? He said, no, I don't even know who he is. So I went to the principal then in the middle of the school day, and I said, this guy has stolen my letterman jacket, and I want you to call him in. I want my jacket back. So he called him in, and the principal said, is that your jacket? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, this is my jacket. And we were having this. He was just lying. And so we had this discussion. I said, well, to the principal, I said, if you'll let me just take that off of him and turn the right sleeve inside and out, there should be a huge blood stain where I scratched my arm on the floor, and as we were coming home, it bled inside my jacket. And so the boy took the jacket off. I turned the sleeve inside out, and right there was that stain. So the principal said, that's yours. Take it. Go back to class. And I don't know how the other boy was disciplined, but I had my jacket back. Man, I needed that because it was everything to me at that time. When it came time to go to college, I packed up my Letterman jacket. Mom said, you know, you might need to get a jacket. No, I don't need anything for winter. I've got my Letterman jacket. I'll just wear it. And I get to college. And I'm so glad it didn't happen to me. But there was another boy that wore his high school Letterman jacket first. And everybody laughed at him. You know, what are you doing wearing your high school Letterman jacket? This is college. What are you talking about? And man, he took such a ribbon. I would never have worn my Letterman jacket after that. And the first break I had to go home, I took that jacket home with me. And I said, we need to go shopping. I need to get a coat. And so what seemed to be so important to me, it just quit like that. It was over. In fact, I tore our house upside down. That Letterman jacket is somewhere in my house today. And to show you how little it means to me now, I couldn't find it. Ask Kim. We had a night where we pulled everything. We've got a closet is from chair to chair upstairs, an attic closet. We pulled every box out, and I looked, and I couldn't find it. I was going to bring the jacket. All I could find was one of the letters that I had earned, and I used that. But that's how much it means today. I don't even know where it is. It's somewhere packed away in a box somewhere, and I can't even find it. That's how little value it has today. But if you were to take me back to high school, there wasn't anything I owned as valuable as that jacket. That's what I want to talk about for just a little bit. That passage that Barry just read from Isaiah chapter 55, look at what it says in verse 2 again. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Isaiah the prophet asked this question, why are you working for stuff that doesn't last? Why are you spending your money on things that don't satisfy? It's a good question. It's a question we need to ask ourselves today. And again, the answer, I believe, is that we have trouble discerning between what lasts and what is temporary. And the amount of time that we need to give to each. Sometimes the majority of our time is given to things that are fleeting, that are temporal. And the minority of our time and attention go to things that really matter and last in life. We've got to fix that. We've got to see things with a proper perspective. And I have 3 points of this lesson I think that it'll help us as we try to discern between what lasts and what is fleeting. And here's the first point. The words, and he died. Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 5. Sometimes people look at Genesis chapter 5 and they're astounded by the length of years that these people lived. That's not the point that astounds me. Oh, I think that's interesting. But what grabs my attention is the last phrase in every one of these genealogies. If you begin in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. 930 years What could a man do? What would you do if you had 930 years? But he died. Look at verse 7. Verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Look at verse 11. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And he died. Look at verse 14. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. Look at verse 17. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. Look at verse 20. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Go on down to Genesis chapter 5, verse 31, or verse 27, excuse me. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And if you go to verse 31, so all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And if you want to finish off with Noah, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 29, so all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. You know what I have in common with all those men? If the Lord doesn't come back first, at the end of my life, there's going to be that same phrase, and he died. That's the commonality of humanity. These guys lived an incredible length of time. Oh, it's an interesting study to consider the theories. You know, how can a man live that long? What was going on there? What kind of involvement did maybe God have in that? Or did the environment have in that? All those things are an interesting study. Right after the flood, the years dip dramatically in the ages. So, you know, that's a study in and of itself. But the thing that strikes me is that as long, even if you live nearly 1,000 years, there's that statement, and he died. And when I consider my life, there will come a day when the last words are going to be, Steve was this and this and this and this, and then he died. Not everything is intended to last and to last forever. So that brings me to the next point and the next question. Well, if that's the case, what then? Then what happens? I mean, what are we going to do when we reach that time, which isn't going to be nearly as long as they live? What matters then? What happens then? Well, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, there is appointed unto a man, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says that we're going to have to give an account for ourselves for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. We're going to stand before God and give an answer for what we've done. So it doesn't matter if you live 10 years or 900 years, you're going to die. And then there's a judgment. And I'll tell you, when that day comes, what we've accumulated in life won't matter. It doesn't make a bit of difference. If you have attained great wealth in life, if your possessions are great, if you have so much stuff that you have to hire out and rent out, you know, storage units to put all your neat things in and all that kind of, it doesn't matter. You don't take any of that with you. When you die, you leave it all behind. And so that doesn't matter. You know, what happens? Well, what you've accumulated, it doesn't mean anything. It's like that Letterman jacket that meant so much to me in high school and then meant nothing to me when I went to college. It just sits in a closet somewhere, waiting to be found. How shrewd of a businessman you were when you died doesn't matter. You may spend, you know, all kind of energy in life, and you may be able to turn a dollar out of everything. I mean, it just, you're so talented that, you know, you can go from rags to riches, and you could do it 10 or 7, you know, 10 or 20 times in your lifetime. You can just build that ladder or climb that ladder because you know what to do. And you know how to manage money, and you know what good business sense is and what isn't. And at the end of the day, you know, you can have all that business savvy, and you can accumulate a fortune, but none of that matters in that day. How educated you are, it doesn't last. It doesn't matter. I have great respect for people that will go on and get higher degrees. It's a tremendous, you know, accomplishment. There are so many things that really ratchet it up a notch, you know, when you're in some of these higher degrees and the work is demanding and the research is demanding. It takes a lot of time, a lot of work. And people do that and they achieve that and they can, you know, bear in this life the fruits of their study. But what good is that when you die? It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't help you in the afterlife. How well and loved you are and how well respected you are, it doesn't matter in the day of judgment, the day we die. You can be the most liked person in Knoxville, Tennessee. Everybody says your name and they say it with a smile. Everybody knows you. You're the guy, you're the lady that is just such a nice person. And you can be so well respected. But that doesn't matter when you die. We can talk about talents. Are you athletic? I mean, can you hit 10 threes in a row? Can you run faster than everybody else? Can you lift more than anybody else? Ladies, can you bake better than anybody else? Is your recipe better than somebody else's? It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, whatever talent we have that we you know, give time and attention to and develop in life and hone and fine-tune, the day comes when we die. And none of that matters. What about how dedicated you were to family? You know, grandchildren have two sets of grandparents. Don't you want to be the set of grandparents that the kids like the most? You know, I want them to want to come to my house more than their house. And so we try our best to be the best grandparents. And we love it when the kids leave us and they go to their parents and they cry because they're not with us anymore. And they're going back and we get satisfaction out of that. Boy, they love it. You can have that kind of relationship with your grandkids. They can absolutely adore you. But when you die, what does that account for? You can be the most benevolent person that has ever walked the face of the earth. You can be a modern day Dorcas Tabitha who is constantly doing good works and when she'd have people come crying, showing she made this for me and everybody had their proofs of her love. You can be that kind of a person that when the day comes that you leave this world, you leave the world a much sadder place because of your absence. But what difference will that make when you die? You see, the point that I'm talking about is that what is common to all men is that we're all going to live and we're all going to die. And when we die, things that we spend our time developing and nurturing in life, many of those things aren't intended to last. I'm not saying don't develop them. I'm not saying disregard them. I'm saying give them the proper attention that they deserve. But there are some things that deserve even more attention than all the things that we just talked about. And that's our third point. What then? Well, we only have one hope. And that's summed up in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And it says this, Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's it. You can be the best grandparent. You can earn the most money. You can be the best cook. You can be the greatest athlete. You can build things that stand the test of time. But none of that matters if Christ isn't in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. And while I would say pursue these good things in life, enjoy life, do the things that give you satisfaction, those temporal things that you know are fleeting and they won't last forever, but pursue those things and enjoy them as God intended for you to do, but understand they weren't made to last. The only thing that will last is Christ in you. He's your only hope of glory. Therefore, what kind of attention, what kind of time do you give to that? When's the last time you thought about your relationship to Jesus and how well he lives in and lives through your life? Listen, I spent literally hundreds and hundreds of hours running hundreds of miles to letter and to get a letter in basketball and cross country. Have I shown the same kind of dedication and willingness to sacrifice and to put in the hours into things that last? How much time do we put into our jobs? How much time do we put into our homes? How much time do we put into earning money? How much time do we put into Christ living in us? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we need to do. That's the only thing that matters. So as we come to an end in this lesson, I just wanted to impress this singular point upon you. Don't allow yourself to become so enamored with things that don't last, with things that are fleeting. Rather, spend your time and invest your energy and your thought and your talents into the only thing that does matter. Friends, we have a destiny with death. There will be a meeting someday, unless the Lord comes back first, but there will be a meeting when your life can be summed up with whatever. I mean, we can go back and fill in the gaps. What happened to Noah? Well, he lived 900 and some years. Well, and during that time, he did this, 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 and this, had a lot of great accomplishments. But there's then that phrase, and he died. And we can take your life and we can make out a resume and say, these are all the things that he did in life. What a list. But then he died. If when you die, you can't say, oh, and one more thing. Christ, he was in me. He permeated my being. I didn't even live for myself anymore. My life was given to him. Oh, I was still alive, but the things that I did for him. He consumed me. I was so caught up in him that he became my all. That's the only thing that will matter. If your life came to an end today, if we were to talk about you today and the last words we were to say were, you know, good person, and then he died, then she died. Do we have more that we can say? Can we say, ah, but Christ lived in her. Christ lived in him. And thus, he or she has a hope of glory. If you have no hope of glory this morning, I want to encourage you to allow Christ in you Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, if Christ is not yet living in you, you need to work for that which lasts. Stop spending your money and your time and your talents and your investments in things that don't satisfy. And spend the rest of your time investing in the Lord, your only hope. And then your life will be a success. If you're here this morning and you're a child of God already, but maybe unfaithful, and it's time to get things right, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.